Good evening. We're going to go back to our study we've been started. We started on Sunday, done Sunday morning, Sunday evening. We got our introduction. If we go to 2 Thessalonians, I'm kind of going to use this as a text scripture through here because it makes so much sense. He says in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 15, says, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or epistle. He goes on to say, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, which has loved us with an everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. The word consolation means to comfort. So the Lord comforts us with good hope through grace. We're talking about eternal security of the believer. That, beloved, is our comfort. Eternal security of the believer. We're taking these notes by Brother M.L. Moser Sr., not Junior, but Senior, probably back in the 60s or 70s when Brother Moser did this. 100 reasons and 100 scriptures proving eternal security. You know, you find people everywhere that believe different things. You find very few that believe in eternal security. Why is that? Why is it there are more organizations that call themselves churches believing in eternal security? They have so many holes in what they believe. And the problem is, majority of them, if not most all of them, are lost. We covered 5 things last weekend. First, not connected with the doctrine, but answer some questions to why people don't believe it. First, an untruth is that all church members are saved. All church members are not saved. All real church members are saved. Churches have people in them that are members that are not saved. Second, another untruth is that all who engage in church work are not saved. Just because you're a member of First Baptist Church don't mean you're saved. Just because you're a member of First Pentecostal Church don't mean you're saved. Just because you're a member of Landmark Sovereign Grace Missionary Baptist Church don't mean you're saved. I had that Landmark in there. And just because you do good works for the Lord, good works for the church, don't mean you're saved. Third, another untruth is that the saints should not be tempted. Saints are always tempted. We're tempted every day. The Lord said, you shall have persecution. People like Oprah Winfrey and Joel Osteen, they're a bunch of liars. They understand nothing about the Word of God. All church members have trials and tribulations in their lives. Another untold truth is that saints shall not fall. Saints fall all the time. We're sinners, folks. We sin, we sin, we sin. We sin, we sin. And you know what? The blood of Jesus covers all those sins. Amen. Every single solitary one of them. You know what I find odd? Is people that don't believe in eternal security and believe that you can fall from grace never fall from grace. Isn't that weird? Isn't that strange? I find it odd. What, are they not sinners like I am? Sure, they're a sinner like I am. They sin every day, just like I do. The fifth reason, or the fifth untold truth, is that the saints preserved alone. We're not preserved alone. We don't take care of ourselves. We're not going to work our way and preserve ourselves. God has us preserved. It's the fifth truth of the 5 points of sovereign grace. It's perseverance and preservation of the saints. Amen. And you will find that God does that We looked at all this. I'm not going back to it. So this brings us to our 100 reasons and 100 scriptures. Yeah, it's going to take a few sermons. That's okay. We'll get through it. But when we get through these 100 reasons with 100 scriptures, you're going to know everything there is to know about eternal security. And it's going to make you so happy in your heart. It's going to rejoice you so much to know that God has saved your soul. And that since God has saved your soul, you will never fall from salvation. Amen. Now, to understand eternal security, you must understand the process of salvation. The process of salvation, and if you don't believe every part of it, you're going to miss a blessing. First, God elected you. Before the foundation of the world, God elected a remnant of people to be saved. Anyone that don't believe that is missing on salvation or missing a blessing. Amen. Second of all, before the foundation of the world, God had already ordained Jesus Christ to come to this world in the form of a man, in the likeness of sinful flesh, to die on that cross, to shed his blood, to cleanse us from our sins. Before man was ever created, it's called the eternal covenant. Amen. Three, God sent Jesus to this world, and Jesus sacrificed his life on that cross for our sins. Amen. He gave his blood, and he gave his blood not to wash away some of our sins, but all of our sins. Amen. Because God knows what we are. He knows our frame. He knows we're sinners. He knows we need the blood every day of our lives. Next, the Holy Spirit convicts your heart. He makes alive your spirit. And when he does, when he quickens your dead spirit, he causes you to hear the gospel for the first time. He causes you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you do. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Then, beloved, you're saved. John calls it being, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. That is, born from above. In that same chapter, chapter 3, I think it's verse 5, he speaks of two births, a spiritual birth and a water. The water is a natural birth. And in that passage of scripture, you are born naturally and you are born spiritually by God. Just as your mother gave you a birth in this world, God gave you a birth. Amen. He saved your soul, caused you to be his child. Now, that's going to come into play a little bit. So I'll just go ahead and say it. You didn't save yourself. God saved you. God calls you to be his child. Amen. Children and families don't fall in and out. We are eternally saved. And we're going to sit here and we're going to look at this, all 100 reasons and all 100 scriptures. Amen. And what we're going to see, folks, we're going to see Bible. We're going to see the scriptures. 100 of them. You know, people argue with me about eternal security, and they use logic. You know, they don't use scripture. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever had someone to argue with you about all them Baptists, they believe once saved, always saved? Do you know that we have at least 100 scriptures? We're going to look at them. And 100 reasons. And they can't give you one. They cannot give you one evidence in the Bible, in context, as a fact, that eternal security does not exist. First, John chapter 10. Let's see what God says for our first point of 100. in John chapter 10, verse 28, the Lord said, I give unto them, what? Eternal life. And they shall never perish. What? They shall never perish because I gave unto them eternal life. Neither shall any man put them out of my hand. Amen. Folks, right there is about 15 messages. Well, let's look real quickly at this passage of scripture. First of all, who gives us eternal life? God does. We don't go out and get it. We don't make decisions for it. We didn't turn over new leaves. We don't go out and do good works. We don't acquire it any way except it's a gift from God. Isn't that right? And he says once he gives us eternal life, what's the second point? He shall never perish. Ever. How can it be called eternal life that God has given to us if you shall perish? I mean, doesn't eternal mean eternal? I mean, does God mean what he says? Yes, he does. God has given to you, if you are saved tonight, eternal life, and you shall never perish. Folks, that's a promise from God. Amen. Now, the third point there on that scripture is neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Who is any man? Would yourself be included in that? I know, ladies, you're not men. It means mankind. If you're saved tonight, you are part of that any man, any mankind. You cannot pluck yourself out of God's hand. I can't pluck you out. Satan can't pluck you out. Nobody can pluck you out of God's hand. Why? Because God has you in his hand. And he's given to you eternal life. And he's promised to you in that eternal life, you shall never, ever, ever, ever perish. Amen. Number two. It's kind of like the first one. In John chapter 5. But it's worded a little bit different. While God has given us eternal life, he's also given us everlasting life. Second one is the believer has everlasting life. In John chapter 5, verse 24, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, listen, this is the condition, folks. You got to hear God. He that heareth my word. Not you that heard Olstein. Not you that heard the preacher. Not you that heard some weird outside thing like make a decision for Christ or a choice for Christ or turn over a new leaf. But if you hear, he that heareth my word, that is the gospel. If you hear the gospel, secondly, and believe on him that sent me, that is, believe the report of God, you have everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Amen. You were dead, now you're alive. What did God promise? He promised you never to die again, didn't he? He said, you shall never die again. We'll get to that one. He's giving you an everlasting life. He's not only giving you an eternal life, he's giving you an everlasting life that shall never, ever, ever end. Amen. And you shall not. Not maybe or possibly, hopefully, not if you're lucky, but you shall not come into condemnation. Why, Lord? Because you have passed from death unto life. What God has done, nobody counted.
Amen.
Because God hath made you a promise to make your life everlasting through your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalms 40, if you will. This next one has several scriptures. Hold up. I got my notes mixed up here. Okay, go to John 3. I'm sorry. I had my notes mixed up here. I had two sets of notes. Let me scratch that out. Go to John chapter 3. So first, the believer has eternal life. Second, the believer has an everlasting life. Now, notice here in John chapter 3, John chapter 3 is a wonderful chapter. You never really studied it. Give it some thought. But let's go to everybody's favorite scripture. Anybody have any idea what scripture in John chapter 3 would be everybody's favorite? Yeah, verse 16. In verse 16, it says, "For God so loved the world." I'm not going to get into that, but he don't love everybody in the world. "But for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." God so loved you that he gave you everything he had to give. He gave his most prized possession, his dear son, Jesus Christ. Now, let's read on. "That whosoever believeth in him," whosoever believeth in him, what's the next word say? "Should not perish." Now, is that a promise or not? The believer cannot perish. That's our third point. God promised you you can. And you're going to listen to some person tell you that you can perish? You cannot perish. No matter what you do in this life. And I get sick and tired of people using far out stupid things to try to prove me wrong. But God, I take his promise. And he says, "Whosoever believeth in him," as Jesus, "should not perish." And then we go back to our second one here again here, don't we? "But have everlasting life." There it is again. The Lord just told us that if we believe in Jesus Christ, we shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Four. I love this one because it's a fact. All these facts. But this puts the icing on cake. Fourth, we are kept by the power of God. It's not in our hands. Who can pluck you out of God's hand? Nobody can they? God just said, "No man can pluck you out of my hand." We're in God's hands. We are his, and his power holds us. How much power does God have? He has all power, doesn't he?
Amen.
So in 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to see that we are kept by the power of God. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, he says, "Who are kept by the power of God." How's that, God? How's that, Lord? "Through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Well, that's a lot said there, isn't it? But looky here. People talk about you got to keep yourself. You got to work good. You got to live good. You know what, folks? Not one of them work good. Not one of them live good. The Lord says if you sin one time, you are guilty of all the law. Amen. It don't matter what sin it is, any sin, you are guilty of all the law. And here, he tells us that we are kept not by our power, not by a priest's power, not by the pastor's power, not because you're good people. You're kept by God's power.
Amen.
Let's go to number 5. And that'll be John chapter 1. Some of you, as soon as I said that, you may have figured this out. In John chapter 1, we are kept by his power because we are born of him. We did not cause ourselves to be saved. In fact, when you think about it and when you understand salvation, you understand you did nothing to be saved. You didn't even believe. Holy Spirit caused you to believe.
Amen.
God did everything. God puts nothing in the hands of man that he does not control. He don't put a man in the pulpit unless he controls him. He don't fill a church up with people and make a church out of it unless he controls them. And if he don't control them, he removes himself from them. As far as the church. John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, them gave he power to become the sons of God. How did you become a son of God? Or a daughter of God? Child of God? He gave you that power, didn't he? You didn't do it. You didn't do anything to be saved. As many as received him, them, he gave to become the sons of, the power to become the sons of God. To them that believe on his name, nobody else. If you believe in works for salvation, that's your salvation. If you believe in baptism for salvation, that's your salvation. If you believe on church membership as salvation, that's your salvation. If you believe you made a decision, that's your salvation. If you believe that you made a choice, that's your salvation. And I would certainly most rather put my faith in God than I would myself being a wicked, unrighteous, very unworthy sinner.
Amen.
So, as many as received him, them gave he power to become the sons of God, to them that believe on his name. Now listen. Which were born, that's the second birth, as being what Jesus had talked about in chapter 3 to Nicodemus about being born again, which were born, not of blood, you didn't inherit it, didn't come through your blood, you know what comes through your blood? Sin. Nor the will of the flesh, not because I wanted you to, not because you wanted to. Not because we all said and prayed all night for you. Not because it's our heart's desire. Nor the will of man, but of God. The believer is not only saved by the power of God, but and kept by the power of God, they are saved by God himself.
Amen.
God gives salvation. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Praise God for saving my soul. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if you think God saved you any other way, you're lost. People can criticize sovereign grace. They can criticize election, predestination. They can criticize us talking about God saving sinners. But there's nowhere in the Bible they can prove it wrong. And we just went through point five, proving it's right. Six. John chapter 5. I'm sorry. Yeah, John chapter 5. We've already had the scripture. That's made me wonder there. 6. The believer hath been passed from death unto life. John chapter 5, verse 24 again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believe on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, because they have been passed from death unto life. Now, where in the scriptures does it ever tell us that once we're made alive, that we can die again? Doesn't God forbid that in the scripture? Doesn't God conclude in the scriptures without the shadow of death, without shadow of a doubt, that we shall never die again? Amen. We were dead. And apparently some people don't understand what the word dead means. It means corpse dead. And we were been passed from that state to a living state. Seven, Acts chapter 16. I love Acts chapter 16. The whole story. I preached this story several times. I don't know if I preached it here, but I preached it at different times several times. Paul and Silas was put in prison. And God shook the prison, and they were bound to the walls, and God caused all the binds, the cuffs that they had, the binding they had, to come loose. Everybody was free. I wonder if I'd go out here to this prison, New Boston, and open up all the doors and uncuff everybody, what they would do. You wouldn't have a one-way. We'd have terror everywhere. None of them left. Why is that? You know, back then, prisons had to be bad. I know people call them, you know, luxury places today, but, you know, I've been in them before. Not in them as a prisoner, but I've been in them before. I was glad to leave. In the 30 minutes or 45 minutes or an hour I was there, I was glad to leave. They're no place of luxury for me. But this place was even worse. The sentence of the janitor was that if one person escaped, he was going to die. He thought he was going to die. So he come, fall down before Paul and Silas and asked a question in verse 30 of Acts 16. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Verse 31 is their answer. And our seventh point. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. The man who believes in Jesus Christ is our seventh promise from God. Seventh point of eternal security. It doesn't take works. It doesn't take church membership. It doesn't take making decisions. It doesn't take making choices. It doesn't take turning over new leaves. It doesn't take anything. How many times in the Bible does it say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved? One time in the entire scripture, it's a question point blank asked. What must I do to be saved? And it is answered, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Nothing else. That's God's promise, folks. That's God's promise to you and me and every other Christian that's ever been born again. That if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we are saved, never to be lost again. Ephesians 2, for our 8th point. Our 8th point is, the believer has been saved. The Lord said, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. But the believer has been saved. And he says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace you are saved through faith. I understand what the point is here. You are saved. You're not going to be saved. You're not in the process of being saved. You are saved if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you do that how? By grace. For by grace you are saved through faith. I love this next part. Not of yourselves. Why? Because it is the gift of God. He's not done, is he? Not of works. Why, Lord? Because you have no reason to boast. You were saved by grace. You were saved through faith. It's not of yourself. Salvation's a gift of God. Not even of your works. You need zero works to be saved. Because once you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, Acts 16 and 30-31, once you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are saved. And you are saved. You are saved by the grace of God and through faith. 9. Let's try to get these first 10 in. 9. Colossians 3. I love this one. I love them all. Yeah, it's like scriptures. You say, this is my favorite today. Tomorrow you'll have another favorite. Every time we get to a different point, it's my favorite. Brother Moser, Sr., really done an excellent job of this. I called Brother Moser, Jr. and told him I was going to preach it. He said, you're going to enjoy that. Our 9th point is, the believer, listen, is hid by God in Christ. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 3, says, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Can the devil find that which God hides? Can anyone find that which God hides? Have we any right to add to God's word by inserting if into the passage? No. Says that we are hid in Christ. Who hid us? God did. He says your sins have been hid in Christ by his blood. He says that he's taken your sins and threw them as far as the east is from the west, to the deepest part of the sea, so they'll never be found again. It's like finding a grain of sand at the bottom of the sea. One grain, you won't never find it. It's like finding that needle in a haystack. You'll never find it. But you didn't hide it. Nobody hid it except God. God hid it. He hid you in Christ. And nobody's going to find you. Not even the devil. 10. John 10, if you will. So not only has God done all of these things for us, the 9 we already covered, and the 90 we still have to go. You remember what John 10 is? Talking about the sheep, isn't it? I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm talking about sheep. The believer will follow Christ. The believer will follow Christ. That's number 10. He says in verse 27 of John 10, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And what do they do? What's he say the sheep does? They follow me. We follow Christ, folks. You don't follow your pastor. You don't follow any man. You follow Jesus Christ. A lot of times, believers make great errors in life. They follow men. You know what you will find in every great preacher that's ever lived? Error. I don't care what preacher you love. He has error. I was thinking about that today when I was thinking about church, you know, going back and going over some things in my mind. I thought, you know, you can really make some people angry because almost, it's like Revelations, almost everybody disagrees on some part of it. Nobody believes the same on everything. You know why? Because we're full of error. We're not perfect. But Christ is. So we follow Christ. How do we follow Jesus? His word. Listen to his word. Let the Bible speak to you. Hear the word of God. Put it in your heart. And you use it to follow Christ. Because you are a believer that God has saved by the blood of Jesus through his death, burial, and resurrection, and washed you white as snow, making you his own dear child, giving you eternal life, giving you everlasting life, keeping you in his hand, preserving you himself, so that you cannot make an error and fall. And you will follow Christ. Because that's our command. That shows us that we're saved. You know what most people don't do? They don't follow Jesus. They don't follow the Word of God. The Word of God is error to them. Because their thinking is against it. That's the reason God told us in Romans 1, verse 25, that they'll create lies to worship the creature more than the creator. Next service, we'll get started with our next one. I think it's number 11.